Today on Snail Trail 4x4, Dimitri from Stellar Built. Whoop whoop.
Snail Trail 4x4 is brought to you by Bestline Racing. Bestline Racing has a complete lineup of performance additives for your engine's needs. From our oil additives to our fuel treatments, we have you covered for your hobby, tow rig, race car, or your daily driver. Check the show notes for your Snail Trail 4x4 discount at bestlineracing.com.
Beat time.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, fabricating Toyotas, then this is the podcast for you. Welcome, ladies and germs. My name is Tyler. That's me over here, the important one. And and I can only say that because Jimmy can't talk yet. We've made a rule about it. And over here, sitting to my right, not my left today, over to my right, is the one and only Mr. Jimmy Jett, Mr. Run22RE himself. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm doing well, Tyler.
That's good.
I'm excited for today.
Me too.
Today's
going to be great.
Very good episode for you guys.
We do. We've been trying to do this episode for a while now.
We have.
Yeah. And it finally, the stars aligned and we made it happen. As he would say, he's made it happen. We made it happen. But before we get into that, before we get into the fun interview we got for you guys today, because this is episode 130.
Wow.
Which means we have an interview.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gonna be a lot of fun today. We got good stuff, man.
We got good stuff.
We got good stuff. We are the okayest off-road podcast on the internet right now. So we got to live up to all that hype.
Sounds good. Yeah. Let's see. What do we have? We have a big thank you going out to all of our patrons out there.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for supporting us, loving us, and having an opportunity to win a Best Line package.
Yep.
Engine.
Which is coming up
additives
soon. I think we're going to announce that winner in about 2 weeks here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Along with things that you could possibly try and win, you can always go over to the Ultimate Garage giveaway.
Mm-hmm. Link in the show notes. Just scroll down that, whatever your podcasting platform is, and find that link there.
Yes. We did have a patron message us and say he couldn't find the link, and maybe it's because we were talking an episode or so ago that your podcasting platform doesn't show you all the words.
Could be.
So if you have that problem, make sure to just go over to the website.
Yes.
All those links are also on the website, on the episodes as well.
Mm-hmm. Fun thing I did have. So we talked about how Podcast Addict won't let you stream.
Yeah.
It does.
You found out.
I'm just an idiot.
We knew that one already.
Right? Podcast Addict will let you stream. So
cool.
It works out great.
So did you switch it over?
I started playing around with it. So it's just, you have to, it's two extra clicks or two extra taps you have to do in order to get Podcast Addict to stream.
I wonder if you can set it as a default setting.
I don't know. Because what happens is when you bring up your subscription of your episode and it shows you all the episodes that channel has done, from that listing there's a button right on that page where you can download the episode and then tap it again once it's downloaded to play it.
Sure.
Whereas if you want to stream an episode, you have to actually click on that episode, go into the episode, and then the stream button is like down at the bottom of the page of that individual episode. So I never go into individual episodes. I just stay on the channel listing of all the episodes. I've never gone into the next layer, but apparently that's where it is.
Oh, wow.
So
interesting, and congratulations.
Thank you. I might start doing that though, so I can save space on my phone.
There you go. Yes. Also, if you want to try and win some more tools or another chance to win some other tools from Gear Wrench, you can enter into our Gear Wrench secondary runner up Gear Wrench Corey's giveaway.
Corey, yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Brian Murphy.
Okay.
So he made me crack up twice really hard this week, last week, from last week's episodes, right?
Okay.
A, he submitted his ultimate garage giveaway and his ultimate garage gear wrench Corey's garage tool extravaganza bonanza giveaway. And his entry is hilarious.
Awesome.
In the middle of his video recording, while he's recording this video to send in for his entry, his wife yells at him. And I almost spit out my water. I was drinking some water as I was watching his entry. And it's just his wife yelling at him in the middle of while he's recording this entry is hilarious. So
that's great. I'll have to see it.
Shout out to Brian. He also, so on the last episode, we talked about dangle angles.
Yeah.
And you and I were talking about making that into a shirt somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Beforehand.
We were.
And he literally, like, later on that day after we released the episode, he sent us a design.
He did.
That was a Toyota water pump gasket, which everybody knows what those look like. And in the middle of the gasket, it had hashtag angle dangle. And I was like, oh my God, that is way too funny, because we were talking about coming up with a t-shirt design and he just decided to make one and send it to us while we were thinking about it.
Yeah, the timing was perfect.
It was perfect timing, as always, with him. So, yeah, shout out to Brian. Good job. You have moved up to, I'm going to say, number 1.5 fan. I don't know.
Yeah, he's definitely progressing the ranks.
Yes.
Yeah, and he entered into the Gear Wrench Secondary Gear Wrench Garage Gear Wrench Corey giveaway. So make sure that you go and do that. This is only for, we're only announcing this, and it's only being presented on this podcast. So
correct,
the only listeners of this podcast have this opportunity to win that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this is a great opportunity for you guys. You can, everybody in the world is promoting, you know, or talking about the ultimate garage giveaway, yeah, which has $35,000 worth of tools, but we're the only ones that have Gear Wrench Corey's secondary garage. So go get bonanza into that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Also, I guess, should we announce next month's giveaway, or should we hold off for
yes, so this is the last week of September.
Okay,
so let's go ahead and announce it in conjunction with doing this interview today, which, if you haven't read the title of the podcast yet, this episode, then go read the title of the podcast. But it's with Stellar Built.
Yes.
So those of you who are kind of local to NorCal or the West Coast, you know who Stellar Built is, most likely, if you drive a Toyota. Probably if you drive a Jeep, you might even know who he is as well. But we did a really cool interview, and he is putting together the giveaway for October.
Yeah.
So
we're getting some recovery equipment is more or less what it's going to be coming down to. And he's a big fan of the podcast, listens to us, knows that we do a lot of these little giveaways. And he is going to be supplying us with some recovery equipment that is going to be going out to you guys.
Yep. So we'll have exactly what's in that kit. Looks like we're going to get to around the $200 range for the value of October's giveaway. So we'll be talking exactly what's in that kit next week. So the first week of October, once we announce the winner of September's Best Line giveaway.
Yeah.
Best Line Racing giveaway.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, with that, I mean, since we already announced who's here, shall we just move on over?
Yeah, let's get on right on over. Some of you guys know him as Dimitri. That's how we know him. Jimmy got to have a fun little plane ride with him out to SEMA.
I did.
Last year. And he's local. He does some really cool stuff with Toyotas and other vehicles as well. He doesn't just work on Toyotas, but he's done JL builds. He's done a couple JT builds now. He does some off-the-wall stuff if his long-term project slot is open. He'll do definitely some off the wall stuff. I think he's working on a Ford Mustang right now.
Yeah.
So
he's four linking the rear of a Ford.
Right. So, yeah, really cool stuff. Really cool background and history, how he got started, what he's been doing, and how he got into off roading. So, without further ado, let's just get right on over into the interview, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right on back with Dimitri from Stellar Built. Welcome back, ladies and gentle ladies, everybody out there. So we have here in the studio this really cool guy. His name is Dimitri. Dimitri, say hi to everybody.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, of course, we have Jimmy, but you all know who Jimmy is. So
what's up?
What's up? So cool. Dimitri owns a really cool business, and he does some really cool stuff in the off-roading industry. I know that you guys have been cranking out vehicles lately.
We've been busy. Yeah. We've definitely been busy.
So you own Stellar Built.
I do.
Stellar Built. I don't know if anybody out there kind of pays attention to social media, but you guys have been, like I said, cranking out the vehicles, cranking out the Instagram content. Mm-hmm. You're local here to NorCal. Mm-hmm. You specialize kind of in Toyotas, or at least you do a ton of Toyotas.
Majority of our work is Toyota based.
Yeah. And so we see a lot of 4Runners go through there. A lot of GX 450s, 470s go through. We see a lot of Tacomas go through. Mm-hmm. So a couple of our good buddies that we've had on the podcast here. So Mike Truck Norris.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
We've seen him go through. Brennan from Trail 4R.
Yeah. Brennan. Yes.
He goes over and sees you.
Yeah. You guys did a really awesome build with Miso Customs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did a lot of work on his taco. Yep.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's been really cool to finally get you on the podcast. We've been talking about having you on for, God, 8, 9, 10 months. I don't know, maybe more.
It's been a long time.
yeah, we have. I'm glad to finally be here. You know, I listen to you guys, and I know you guys are local as well, so it's nice to kind of, we can finally make time and, you know, get right together.
Yeah, you came out to the listener meetup, which is fun to see you out there, and you got to say hi to some of the listeners. And
back when we're allowed to hang out with other people.
yeah, right. So very cool, man. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're looking forward to today, because now we finally get to kind of share your story with everybody out there. Is that pretty much it in a nutshell? Kind of the top level, what you guys are just
Tell it, if you were to meet somebody that has no idea about Stellar, what's your elevator speech?
We're an off-road shop. So to keep it easy, you know, we do pretty much everything, you know, starting from lift kits to fabrication and anything that's kind of touches the off-road industry. So like we'll do lighting, electrical, everything 12 volt, accessories, armor. So, you know, anything that you can kind of bolt on or weld onto a truck or wire in, we'll make it happen. So,
I need a gun turret on the 4Runner at some point. So
we'll come on by.
Yeah, come on, baby.
We'll have a plasma cutter. We'll put a hole in the roof and make it happen.
Nice. So awesome. Where did you get started with this, in the off-road industry? Have you from a kid always been into off-roading, or how did you get into the off-road industry here?
So I guess maybe not so much industry, but the just general off-roading. So it started back when I originally grew up in Russia, and you know, I lived there big chunk of my life. I lived in Russia, and Russia is very big, and it's like outdoors is huge over there. So like I grew up you know, just out in the woods with my dad's Lada. We would go like fishing, you know, hiking, picking mushrooms. So so off-road back then, it wasn't off-road, that was just a way of life.
You just
go out and you just kind of jam through, and you know, go through trails that are probably way too intense for like a two-wheel drive.
Gotcha.
like a Soviet sedan. So that's kind of how it was a part of me, like, you know, being outdoors and just enjoying spending time with family. So that was like the big factor, like kind of what set the precedent for me, you know, for the future. So so later in life, we're fast forward 20 years, I got my first off-road truck, and you know, people ask me, how did you get into Toyotas? Well, I got into Toyotas by buying a Mitsubishi Montero. So yeah, that's how I got
into Toyotas. How does that work?
Yeah. So, well, I'll tell you. So I bought a Montero, and I used to be involved into like into auto export and like shipping stuff. And it happens to be that the cars that they were into was like Mitsubishis, because they're not really desirable here in U.S. Well, not as much at least, but overseas they are. So
it's okay. Nobody likes Mitsubishis here in the U.S.
yeah. I mean, it's a fine niche. So they have thing going for them, but not so much in U.S. Anyway, so kind of handed to me, like I was just shipping these Mitsubishis, and you know, I don't really care for them, but eventually I got this one where I'm like, you know what, this would be cool if I just kind of put some bigger tires on it and just go fishing or something. Which I did, you know, I put some tires on it, and then I quickly realized, like, you know what, if I want to add a bumper or add something to the truck, there was like no options. Like there's non-existent aftermarket support. This is about 10 years ago. So there is some, like a couple of companies that are, they're making stuff for them now. But back then, like there's like nothing. So there was like ARB would make a bumper that would cost a fortune, and you have to like import it from Australia. So anyway, you have to get creative, and you have to figure out like how to build it, how to make it happen yourself. So, yeah. So, and that's kind of how I got into fabrication. I mean, I was always building stuff, but, you know, to this level of like intensity, like I got more tools, better welders, and just started building parts for that truck. Cause, you know, I couldn't find anything that's off the shelf. Yeah. So like, for example, like for my front bumper, I bought a FJ Cruiser, Toyota FJ Cruiser bumper.
Okay.
At a wrecking yard, chopped it up, you know, because it was FJ Cruiser is wider than the Montero, so chopped it up and kind of slimmed it down, made custom mounts, bracketry, and made that work for a Montero.
Yeah,
like a set of sliders. I think they were like trail gear sliders, like just like a generic 69 inch or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Made mounts, welded those on, and everything in the truck was like that. It was like you know, part like homebrewed stuff, like with using parts from other makes. So. Yeah. Anyway, so that's how I got into four-wheeling, I guess. So,
okay.
And I took that truck everywhere, like all this trails around, you know, took it to Death Valley, you know, just drove up the coast, like just,
right.
Just wheeled it. So, it was fun. It was a good times. You know, I quickly realized, like, you know, the downsides of that suspension, because Mitsubishi uses a torsion bar setup, and
yeah.
it doesn't have a lot of flex. It's very stiff, and, I think for a lift, I had just a crank set of torsion bars. Like, I never got the actual lift kit. So.
Okay, Lloyd used to have that, yeah, one of Jimmy's old trucks.
Yeah. Now you can get like there's a few companies that make like actual lifts for them. But back then, it was like OEME. That's the only one. So, but anyway, so I drove it around that. But what's nice about a Mitsubishi is that you can fit 35s relatively easy. So, like, 35 inch tires, and I geared the truck using gears out of like a Mitsubishi Sport, which is like a smaller version. So, anyway, so it was fun. So I built that truck and. But
how,
I was
how
always.
How long did you have that one?
Oh gosh, I had the truck close to 10 years, probably.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I it got to the point where I think I hydrolocked the motor, crossing, doing the river crossing or something. But anyway, so
you pulled it, Jimmy.
Yeah. Okay. The truck was taken apart, and at this time, I think I had the Mitsubishi, but I was always into like, oh shoot, man, what, I want to get a different platform, something that has more flex, because I wanted to do the Rubicon, which I did do on my Mitsubishi, but nice. It didn't go very well.
How far did you get?
Well, I went in through Wentworth Springs with a group of like crawlers and Toyotas, and I went in and like, yeah, you know, it was my first time, so I'm like, you know, I got this truck, it's all built up, it has a rear locker from factory, which is nice. But it was like absolutely just way over my head, like it was like way too intense for that platform. So like,
yeah,
so like I ended up just like blowing tires and just breaking stuff, so like, yeah, I had to call it quits, and there's no way I was gonna make it to the trail, at least at that point. I'm
at
like,
that time.
maybe right now I'll probably keep going, but I was like, yeah, this is a little too intense. So so I was looking for a different platform, like different chassis. So, and I'm like, well, it's definitely gonna be a Toyota, because I want to be able to have like buy stuff and install stuff, you know, and
have aftermarket support
and just not even support, like just having general tech support, like Toyota, gotcha. Like any platform,
mm-hmm.
you go online, there's, you know, IHATMA, there's all the Tacoma form, yeah, Tundra mm-hmm. forms, Forerunner, like endless amount of them. So like any sort of a quirky question or tech issue, like
you can find an answer somewhere. Yeah.
Videos, you know, so I wanted to have a platform that can kind of have that support. So what happened was I was just visiting a buddy and he was, just for something else. And I saw a Land Cruiser in his driveway. Uh-huh. And it was like, it had like some tires. It was kind of built up, but it was not quite finished. I'm like, what is this? Like, oh yeah, it's my brother's truck. So long story short, I ended up buying that truck. And that was a 92 Toyota Land Cruiser. Put a OEME lift kit on it, 2.5 inch. I put a rear locker and just some 35s and mm-hmm. Airb bumper, mate, kind of homebrewed my own bumper in the rear, like a swing out bumper. At this point, I was like, I was very comfortable with like building and, you know, okay, whatever
working
I wanted.
Making it happen.
Yeah. Like all the armor, like I just build it myself, you know? So, really had a good time with the truck. It was a great truck. Like I love the Land Cruiser.
And that was your FJ80, right?
So no, that was my first one. Okay. Yeah. I had a number of them over the years, but buying that truck, I didn't know anything about Land Cruisers. I just knew like they had a solid axle, they were kind of mm-hmm. capable, and you know, people build them up. And so I bought one. So it ended up being like I was having a good time, but it was a 92, and that particular generation was an early generation of the 80 series, FJ80.
Yeah.
So it had like just a super gutless motor, and the axles were okay. Like, mm-hmm. It had like issues. Like it would just like the footwell from like exhaust would get so hot, like especially in the summer. Like,
shoes.
Oh, dude, if you can drive in it with the flip flops. If you put like a cup holder, like a drink in a cup holder, uh-huh. It would be hot by the time you get to your trail.
You can make some hot chocolate on the trail.
I mean, that's actually the good side. Yeah, if you have a hot drink when it's cold out, it'll stay hot for the rest of the day. So.
There you go. So, I wonder if you even need to worry about manifold burritos. Right? Then. You could just put them on the floor.
Oh, absolutely. You just throw it on there in the Ziploc and yeah. But anyways, it was fun. But like as I kind of got more into it, I realized, well, the later generation Land Cruisers, they have better axles, better motor, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of some of the details. Like you can get it with lockers, front and rear lockers. So
you got a ghost in here.
Yeah.
Right. George threw something at the thing.
Yeah. So I ended up selling my 92 and I was looking for like a newer one. So, and finding a Land Cruiser with like front and rear locks from factory is nearly impossible.
Unicorns, man.
And especially finding something that's like in decent condition and like decent miles, okay shape. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm looking around, like trying to find one. And again, this kind of just showed up to my life. It's like, it's meant to be. Like I didn't look for it. It just kind of came to me. Like a buddy of mine reached out, hey, Dimitri, you know, I know you're kind of like into Land Cruisers. He's like, my grandma has a Land Cruiser in her driveway and
that's
it doesn't
perfect.
And I'm like, that's exactly like you want, like the call you want to get. Like, yes. Like, I'm like, excuse me. I'm like, he's like, yeah, you know, it's kind of making funky noise in the front. So she just wants to get rid of it.
Are you interested?
Yeah,
knees are buckling. I had to
check my pulse. I'm like, is this okay? All right, this is. So I FaceTime him. I'm like, hey man, I'm in Sacramento. He was in Alameda, in Bay Area. So I'm like, can you just do like a quick walk around? Yeah, sure. So he gets he turns on the camera, just walks around, and I'm like, so Land Cruisers, they have their legendary locker dial next to the steering wheel. So. Uh-huh. And everybody looks for that when they're looking for a Land Cruiser. Mm-hmm. So
I just look for the dash on the left side of the steering column.
Just show me that picture. I don't want to see the truck. Just show me that picture. Yeah. So he walked around and he reaches inside through the window and bam, front rear lockers,
nice
factory lockers. And the truck had 190,000 miles, exceptional condition, like mm-hmm. in great mm-hmm. shape. So I think I ended up buying for like fraction with what they cost now, so it was a really good deal, because for them it was just like an eyesore in their driveway,
right?
Spider webs,
and they wanted it gone,
and they want it gone. And the reason why they wanted to get rid of it is this is a common problem on the cruiser. Their inner axle seals leaked, mm-hmm. and the differential ran dry, and she was driving an 880, it just boom, just blew up.
So the front
just blew up. So I had to get it towed. So when you drive it, you could hear like the gears like skipping teeth and just making all these grenaded sounds. So and like
it was an all wheel drive one.
Yeah, it was. So yeah, it was all wheel drive. So I ended up towing to Sacramento, and the first thing I did, like, I just geared it to 529. So it was like a completely stock
lane. Took all the gears out, put it back
in. Took out the gears. I'm like, well, if I'm going to build, might as well build it. So 529s, put new gears in there. And it was like, it was hard, funny driving in the freeway with like stock 31-inch tires and 529s. Yeah, you're going like capping out like 55 miles an hour. So, so anyway, so that's, that was the build, the hippo. I call it the hippo. It was a green. It was like, kind of looked like it came from a swamp. It was like this, like murky color. So like I called the hippo, and so I kind of went ape nuts with that one. So I wanted to go this all in. So I built a three link suspension in the front, coilovers, extended four link in the rear, and just pretty much the entire for the most part was all custom. So like, you know, the front end I cut down bare axle, and all the bracketry, you know, I used, you know, parts from rough stuff just from all over the place. So and I had that truck for a couple of years, and that been wheeling just all over the place. So
nice.
Took a lot of long trips. Like I took a trip to Oregon, you know, drive it there, like, and you know, when you drive a crawler and it's like on the highway for extended period of time, it's, you know, it's not always the most comfortable thing, but but I wanted to do it just because, like, okay, I'm gonna see, like, I want to be able to drive a truck to the trail and come back, like, you know, trailers are nice, you know.
Trailers are for boats.
Yeah, well, yeah, I did trail that truck, you know, a couple of times, but like, it's just being able to do that, like leaving your driveway, do this epic trip, epic trail, like every single Rubicon trip I went to, I drove from my house and to the trail, wheeled the trail, and came back. So
yeah. That's cool. And that's the one that you sold kind of recently here within the past year, right?
Yeah. So it ended up, I kind of got bored with it because I did everything I wanted to do to it. I wanted to build something that's next level, like just something that's more beefier, more girth. Okay. So, and which required like bigger axles. And matter of fact, I already acquired the chassis for it. So like, it's basically like, I know once I start building this new one, this new build, this Land Cruiser is just gonna sit, like it's just like, it's, I'm not gonna wheel it, like it's, yeah, it's just gonna be,
it's gonna be the show rig.
So I'm like I just gotta I think it's time to let it go. So I had it for sale, and then ended up going to Southern California. So
yeah, okay,
now nice. Spending some time there, and from the owner was bought it with intention to ship it overseas to like Cambodia. That's what he told
really?
Me. So like,
wow,
yeah, there's like apparently a big Land Cruiser scene over there. So
interesting. Yeah, I told a bunch of people when you had your FJ80 up for sale, the Hippo. I told a bunch of people, I was like, this for what he's listing it at is a great price for everything that's done to this vehicle it is. I was like, You're stupid, because there was a few people that are like, hey, do you know anything about this Land Cruiser? And I was like, dude, yes, that's you should be getting that. And nobody ended up getting it, I guess, from.
Yeah, no, I had a bunch of people come out, like check it out. But it's funny, like I've got a ton of calls like out of state, like a lot of people, like a lot of calls from like Pacific Northwest and a lot of guys from SoCal. And I ended up being there. Matter of fact, like I sold it for asking price, and he wanted to do like a bunch of other stuff while I was still here. So like, so there's like a bunch of more work I did to a truck before.
Oh, that's funny.
Before I went to SoCal.
So okay. Can you tease us about what the next build is going to be?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'll tell you guys all about it. So, okay. So one thing, again, the downsides of a cruiser, it's good motor, but it's still kind of limited on power. Like it's, you know, it's a 4.5 liter, lots of torque, but not enough. Like if you load it up with all the gear, you know, you can't be like going 80 miles an hour up the hill. It's just, you can't, it's impossible. So unless like you supercharge or whatever, but, which I wasn't interested. So I wanted power. That's the one thing, is power.
Okay.
Another thing, I wanted something that's, that has dual cases. With the cruiser, I did put low range gears, but I wanted something that's even lower and gives me option. Like, let's say like, I want a low gear for snow wheeling, and like, let's say even lower gear for crawling. So, and that has to be a dual case setup.
That's funny. Cause I use my crawl gear more in snow wheeling than I do in rock crawling.
I mean, it's a balance. Like I found like a factory low. I love when for snow wheeling, it's just enough. But then again, if you're like, It depends on how sticky the snow is.
It is. Definitely depends on
the low low is always obviously that low is you, but just having that option is nice.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
And so how many tea cases do you want?
All of them. I want all the cases. So anyway, so the new build is a 4th gen Forerunner. Make 4th gen great again.
Okay.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So they're slowly making a comeback. So I'm hoping kind of like trying to revamp them a little bit. So, but I think it's a great platform, man. It's plenty of space. It's the one I got is a V8, 4.7 V8.
They have a nice V8 in them.
Oh, healthy V8. It's good. Same though. It comes in the Tundra, Land Cruisers. Mm-hmm. It's just a big, you know, Toyota V8. So
yeah.
Good, decent power. It's almost 300 horsepower, so which is, you know, plenty of what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
And you can make more by just, there's a couple of bolt-ons you can add. So and the axles just be, you know, Dana 60s, Sterling 10.5.
Okay.
And
nice. You
know, I got a Marlin Crawler taco box already built. I know everybody wants one because matter of fact, Marlin Crawler wouldn't even like put you on their waiting list because they're so
backed up.
If you want one, they just won't even sell it to you. They won't even put you because they're so backed up. So I have one ready at the shop, ready to rebuild. So so that's next. That's what I'm excited for. Kick suspension, nice. Bumps, and just all that. So I'm trying to do something different in the rear as far as linkage. So we'll kind of, I'll leave that, you know,
as the teaser.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's awesome.
Cause there's a Forerunner 5th gen on Instagram with a really long travel IFS in the front, and the rear is a 4-link, but his upper links are attached to his rear bumper.
Okay.
So he's like essentially converted his rear bumper into a cross member bumper.
Okay.
And so his upper links are attached to that.
Okay.
And so he articulates and everything, that's where his upper links are. And I was like, that's really funky. And I was like, is it really strong enough to be able to do that? And it's impressive to watch what he does with it.
Yeah.
It's filthy 4R.
Filthy 4R. I think I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I was just like, that was the weirdest link setup I've ever seen so far. And I'm just like, okay, if it works, it works. It's cool. It's definitely out there.
So. Yeah. In theory, if it's triangulated properly, it should be okay. Like one thing is how it does like in the trail and how it articulates. Mm-hmm. Another thing, how is it going to drive home? How's it going to drive when you're like in the fast lane, in the highway? How's it going to handle like emergency situations? Mm-hmm. You know? So, you know, that's kind of like it's always for me like a priority. Like, you can make anything flex, just weld some tube and, you know, have it, have it flex, but being able to drive it actually, you know, reliably, that's kind of more important, but.
Nice. So you have the, which are you going to be running the stock transmission out of it too? Or are you going to have to swap the sides for the T case or?
So it's a factory, I believe it's a 5-speed. So it's a 05. Yeah. So factory transmission. So I'll be using, transfer case out of, my first transfer case. No, so there's taco box and behind it's going to be a transfer case out of a 5th gen, 2019, TRD off-road,
Tacoma?
Forerunner.
A Forerunner. Okay.
5th gen. Yeah. So,
there you go.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's,
is there a reason you wanted that one? Is there a benefit to have that T case, or is it you just got your hands on it?
That's the one you have available
because it's a bolts up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, that's so fine. No,
but I mean, it's a great T case, and I have a buddy who's who owns a wrecking yard here in town, Ranch Toyota Recycling.
Yeah. Steve. Yeah. We've been trying to get him on the podcast too.
Oh, so. Steve's great. Yeah. Yeah. So we have a great relationship. He supplies us some donor parts. You know, if people break stuff, you know, we get from them.
Nice.
So he has this this gallery of this array of like of transfer case, like transfer case galore. So like
I've walked through his engine and transmission section, the bays with the all the pallet racking with the engines and transmissions. I'm like, this is amazing.
No, it's amazing. Right? It's very well organized. So So what I did, I just ended up bringing my my taco box and just going through what fits. I could have technically hooked it up to mine original T case, but downside with my T case is that it's a dial switch, so it's not like a manual lever.
Yeah,
okay. Which I wanted to eliminate any like electrical components to. I want to have everything hand operated.
So the 19 TRD off-road 5th gen T case is manual lever operated.
It's a manual lever. Yeah.
That's good to know. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Is that a TRD thing?
Well, hold on. It might have been that. It might have been a TRD. It might have been the SR5. But yeah, I know for sure it was out of a fifth gen. You know, we
19.
When we were when I told Steve this is what I want, he's like, hey, this is out of this. This is what it's from.
Yeah.
So, a lot of guys use a FJ Cruiser case, mm-hmm. which I could have done.
That's what I've heard of. There's a dude over at Four Wheel Parts Sacramento, mm-hmm. Pasha, their head mechanic over there, and he was going to be building a fourth gen 4Runner, and he was going to use a T case and a transmission out of an FJ Cruiser,
yeah,
and his. So
yeah, no, that's a great case, and a lot of people do those conversions into micro and truck. Like if say if you want to eliminate that dial, you can put that case in. But
nice.
But the taco box that I had, it wasn't built for that transfer case for the FJ Cruiser one. So
okay,
and I called Marlin. They're like, hey, we can modify it with another adapter plate, but you got to get in line. I'm like, you know what? I already have it. I don't want to send it out. So I just made it work with what I have. So yeah. and it's great because I have it's a 2019 case. Like it's got I don't know,
it's brand new,
10,000 miles, 15,000 miles on it. So
yeah,
So I'm excited. So it's a 05 4Runner taco box that's designed for the new Toyota Tacomas, and right behind it's going to be a 19 4Runner T case. So
nice.
Perfect.
Yeah. What tires are you going to be running? Do you know yet?
Yeah, no, I already have them. So they're, I'm going to try a set of Maxxi Strepidors.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
40s?
And those, yeah, 42s? They're 40s. Yeah. And the reason why I went with Maxxi, so a few years back, no, it was last year, I went took a trip to down south to Australia, and I've seen Maxxis, but I'm like they're just extreme. They look crazy.
Yeah.
And and when I was there on the trip, like I hooked up with some locals and like local wheeling groups, and we went out, and everybody runs Maxxis. Mm-hmm. Like it's like a thing. Like it doesn't matter. Like 33s, 35s, 40s. Like everybody runs Maxxis tires, uh-huh. the Trepidors, yeah. or other versions of Maxxis, but that's like a thing. I'm like, why do you guys? And I wheel with them, and they just do great. Like I've seen what they do, and
yeah.
they took me in like the Australian Rubicon version.
Okay.
It's like dirt, mud, rock, like tree ruts. Yeah. yeah. So and they bite like especially the 40s. Like they have just a lot of move to it. So
okay.
I don't know how they do on the highway. I don't really care. Like they're probably super loud, but
super loud. They tend to wear down really quick because they're just a soft tire.
It's a soft tire. Yeah. But yeah. this truck is it will be driven to the trail, but it's not going to be, I'm not planning to have like a daily driver. So,
gotcha.
So it'll be like a more like a performance oriented. Like
I'll be curious. Truck. I'm going to be watching your tires. Cause I've been debating once my IROC wear out going up to the 40 Trepidors, but mm-hmm. I'm like, they wear out quicker than the IROC do. So I'm a little worried. Mm-hmm. And I just use mine to drive to and from the trails kind of thing.
Yeah.
Run to Starbucks every once in a while, but
the guy, so the Aussie guy that had a set of 40s and his Nissan Patrol, he said he put 10,000 miles on them, and he drives it like to the trail. So
okay,
and I'm okay with that. Like 10,000 miles,
I'll say 10,000. That's like 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, like so I'm okay. Trail, so. Like on my cruiser, I think I put since during my ownership like 20,000 miles on it.
yeah.
So like, and that's over 3-4 years of owning it. So I mean, I'm okay with that, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. Nice.
Yeah. Well, those are rad tires.
Yeah.
If I had the room underneath Bobcat, I'd probably end up going something.
Oh, we can always make more room.
yeah. yeah. Needs a little bit more work than just cutting fenders, but yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm excited. I want to see how they do off-road. I want to see how I like the person, the look. They're super aggressive. Uh-huh. Like you can,
they're square.
They're square. Like the chunks on the side, like I measure, they're literally like two inches just sticking out.
Yeah.
Like closer to the sidewall. So, you know, I'm sure they'll do great like in snow and mud and all that. So.
Oh, they rip up the snow. I have a buddy, Dave Jones in the Mad Hatters. He runs those, the Trepidors, on his old TJ.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a pair of 37-inch Trepidors, and they eat up snow. It's awesome to watch.
Yeah, yeah, which is nice because our terrain, you know, we have that.
We have awesome snow in the wintertime. Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome up here. Speaking of, what is your favorite type of wheeling to do? Like, if you had to break it down between, like, rocks, sand, mud, and snow, What would be your favorite type? What's your favorite style?
So I would say it's probably something like aggressive overlanding, like if you want to call it like rock landing, which we were just talking about. Rock landing. Yeah, that's like my, like I want to be able to go through a trail that's long enough, but and take all the hard lines, like take all the mm-hmm. everything that's difficult. So and not be limited to my vehicle. So like okay. its capability. So that's kind of. You know, to answer your question, like let's say you go to Moab, like I want to be able to do all the difficult trails. Like, okay. So, but at the same time, you know, I'm definitely a lot about the journey. Like, I want to be able to drive there. You know, like if there is like a little towns or whatever, like stop wherever I need to mm-hmm. stop. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's just a trail, like a dirt road, forest road, whatever, like go through that with some speed. So yeah. like, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. so that's kind of like my jam, you know, like, okay. Like so snow wheeling, like I like snow wheeling, but I'm not, I just hate digging. Like if you get stuck, like and it gets a little dark, like it's just
don't get stuck.
Yeah. Just don't get stuck. Yeah. Snow wheeling has its place, you know? So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of, another style of wheeling that I'd like to get into is like doing some desert stuff, like a pre-running kind of mm-hmm. but I just haven't really done much because we don't really have that much terrain here.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of pre-running stuff up here. You have to go over to Nevada
go down south
in there. Yeah mm-hmm.
yeah, so which is, I mean, that's a pretty, it's a long drive and you really have to plan for it. Yeah. We're here in, you know, Sacramento, you just jam up the hill and
hour and a half,
yeah,
hour and a half, world's best rocks right out of
exactly,
your backyard,
you're wheeling it, so yeah. So yeah, that's that.
Okay, nice. That's cool. So yeah, Jimmy and I, we always talk about it. You know, we love doing the hardlands. We love going on the trails, but to us, it's all about the journey and the destination too. We're using the trails and having fun, but we like getting to camp and hanging out with people and getting to these really, really remote areas mm-hmm. that just not everybody can get out to.
Yeah.
And so we want to be able to have our vehicles capable enough to go anywhere we want to go so that we can get there and enjoy where we're at rather than have to repair a bunch of shit while we're there to get back home.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I couldn't agree with you more. Like that's why, like sometimes it may seem a little overbuilt for certain things. Like mm-hmm. when I took my cruiser, just like some, you know, fishing and hiking spots, like,
yeah,
you know, it's just like, it's crazy that you have this machine that's like, like it's got these, just everything big on it. And you're just kind of just camping with family, you know?
Yeah. So,
but you know, but if I want to go wheel, if I want to take those hard lines, go somewhere like mm-hmm. just out and about, mm-hmm. you know, I kind of want to be self-sufficient, self-reliant. Yeah. I want to, you know, be relying on getting pulled out or whatever. So
nice. You know. What's the timeline on the fourth gen?
So
what are you hoping for?
So we're going to put it in the rack. I'm hoping in a couple of weeks, we have a project that's on, that's we're finishing up soon. So, that'll go on the rack and, we're just going to be building. I'm hoping to wheel it the next summer. So, nice. So this, the frame, the truck already has, IFS cut out. So it's, mm-hmm. it's a bare frame. It's ready just for all the engineering and geometry and
yeah.
all the linkage. So,
my question is when you do a solid axle swap on some of the later models, like a fourth or fifth gen, there's a lot of different sensors mm-hmm. that you have to either get into the axle or trick the computer into doing. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because
So that's a that's like, I guess, the downside of building a modern vehicle is that you have sensors, and the big one is really the ABS sensor. So
yeah,
like,
and the wheel speed sensors
they're kind of read from the same ones, but you just have to get around. You just have to live with the fact that you're going to have a light on. Like that's okay. Like, if you want like a completely like turnkey, rig where ABS everything works. I mean, I've heard of people doing that, but you know, like I personally, I can care less. Like if I have a big truck with big solid axle truck and big tires, like, you know, I don't really need ABS. Like I mean, I guess it's nice to have when that situation, you may need it, but you know, like you kind of have to drive that truck like a truck.
Knowing what you got there going on.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you can't like be like speeding around and, you know, mm-hmm. doing these crazy turns. So, I'm kind of past that. Like I'm going to have lights on for the ABS and I don't really care. Yeah.
That's when you just put a little sticker over the light on the dashboard.
Yeah. Like I'm more concerned about the mechanics, you know, I want to make sure like everything, like my axle, everything's working, everything's mm-hmm. built properly. It's strong. So,
okay. Cool, because I've heard of people essentially taking, and they know what the ABS sensor in the computer, the ECU, and the wheel speed sensors and everything, they know what the ECU needs to read in order for the ECU to be happy. Mm-hmm. And so they just add a resistor on there that matches.
Oh, really?
In order to get the lights to stay off.
Oh, yeah. Well,
computer, but yeah.
Well, one thing is if it's getting the light to turn off, and another thing is actually having your ABS work. So like putting in, like, I think was it reflector ring or whatever it's called, like getting all that machine and properly set up, and you know, like, let's say if it's a Ford axle, making that work for a Toyota, make sure everything's all compatible. Like, I mean, I don't know, personally it's not worth the effort for me.
Yeah, you
know,
so. It's not worth the extra effort.
Yeah.
Cool. That's good to know. So let's talk a little bit about Stellar Built specifically. Yeah, the business.
Right. Absolutely.
How long have you had Stellar Built now? How long has it been open? How long have you guys been
officially
operating?
It started in October 2015.
So,
okay. So pushing 5 years. Years now, so it'll be like a little mini anniversary. So, it's definitely been a journey, you know, a lot of learning, and you know, a lot of stress, but it's been great. Like, it's been a great, it's, you know, time in my life. Like, it's like, enjoy everything about it. You know, I really enjoy building trucks, being like dealing, or I guess talking with my customers, and kind of taking each individual build and the pro, and like having the approach of like a unique approach for what they're trying to do. So like, it's been great. Yeah. It's been nice. We have a lot of fun.
So it's really cool about what's one of the things that I know that you guys do is exactly what you just touched on, right? You not only just take rigs that people are like, hey, I want this lift done to it.
Yeah.
You sit there and say, all right, well, let's talk about that for a second. Let's say, and you're more like a helping people design their rigs.
Absolutely.
Than just installing stuff and getting their rigs set up with whatever they want. You're more like, hey, let's talk about this for a second. What's your end goals? What are you looking to use your rig for?
Absolutely.
And you're not only there just to install and do work on a rig, but you're also like a consultant almost.
Yeah, absolutely.
What people are looking to do.
And that's what it is. Like, a big part of my job is like, is just consulting and educating people on the builds, on the components that are going into the truck. Cause a lot of times people come in and like, they just know they have like some sort of look or image that in their head or on their phone that they're kind of trying to get after. Like, this is what I want. This is what I'm like. So I started off like, okay, well, what are you looking to do with your truck? What kind of terrain are you planning to cover? Like, what's your lifestyle like? And you know, what you know, are you
I need triple bypasses.
Yeah, yeah. If you're convinced you need triple bypasses, I'd love to have a conversation. You know, right. So you know,
but I don't ever go off road. Yeah. I just drive it to the mall.
Yeah, and there's definitely plenty of that too. So, and we just kind of discuss about like, see what and build a truck, build a lift, build the you know, install the components based on that, because you know, you don't necessarily need like huge big bumpers with swing outs, you know, if you're just trying to like, you know, we're just have some family fun outdoors, you know. Yeah. So but then if you're trying to like say cover just massive amount of terrain and be self-sufficient and you know, like then there's like, okay, well, then you're gonna need this and that. So and then there's guys like, okay, well, I want to be able to, I like to go to Death Valley, I like to go to the desert. I'm like, well, you know, for you're gonna want suspension that can handle that. So and especially if you have extra weight, so you know, that suspension will be different than let's say just like a 2.5-inch lift, you know, with some shocks. So you know, and also like a lot of times we try to push like proper components, you know, like we don't, because you know, people like, I think we probably take off more spacer lifts than anybody else in California. Like, people come in with these like wonky like lifted trucks, and they just kind of, they don't drive well, they don't handle well. Mm-hmm. So like, and they just have some questionable.
It's 100% for appearance.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, and I tell them it's not just about the lift. It's not about how high your truck is. It's about how it handles when it's lifted. Like how does in the highway? How does, you know, on the, when you're taking those off ramps? You know. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about. So, So education and consulting. Yeah.
Can we step back 5 years and I want to know what your thought process was. What was it that made you go, I want to start my own company? I want to go out and, you know, help other people in the off-roading community build their own rigs,
yeah.
You know, and what was going through your head? How did you come about this and how did you start it? How did it
sure.
happen?
So, I mean, it started going back to the Mitsubishi. So like, I was building stuff for the truck and I noticed there's a market gap. Like there's 4x4 shops and there was like four wheel parts at that time. I think there was Essential four wheel drive and like, mm-hmm. you know, a couple of like Jeep shops have been around mm-hmm. for a long time, but there wasn't many like off-road fabrication mm-hmm. specific shops. So yeah. like, so, and when I started, like it wasn't necessarily like, hey man, I'm this big shop. Like this is, it was more about, hey, Let's just try to build up one by one, like mm-hmm. project after like after project. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah. so I would start.
Do it right.
Yeah,
do it scalable.
Right. Yeah.
Do it so that you keep and make a good brand that people want to keep coming back to you.
Well, yeah, for
and
sure.
They start telling all their buddies.
Absolutely. Kind of thing. Yeah. And yeah, exactly. Just provide good quality work and do your best, you know, mm-hmm. at for the time being. And, So I just kind of roll with that, you know, and then a lot of learning, like, you know, because I mean, you weld and you fabricate, but when you're starting out, you don't know like all the answers. So like, there's a lot of research that goes in that's involved into, mm-hmm. Into it. So, and yeah, so just one by one, like build project after project, you know, when I started, like, I did like a lot of bumpers, just a lot of, you know, external kind of off-road components. So, mm-hmm. And then got more into suspensions because, you know, I worked a lot from my garage. I have a garage similar to what Jimmy has here. So okay. It's almost like a shop behind my house. So yeah. a lot of work has been done there. So, and then I can tell, I need more space because, you know, I'm like grinding and cutting and plasma cutting and making all this noise in my house. And, you know, I live in Midtown, so it's like...
Your neighbors aren't too happy with you?
My house faces a park, and my next door neighbor is a welder, so he's the one that taught me how to weld. So, like, yeah. he was okay with it, but, like, I just wanted to kind of respect the neighborhood, and, you know, I know how it is. Like, and I was just, like, grinding and wheeling every single day, you know? So, yeah. So I'm like, okay, well, I need some space. I just, I gotta move to, and just having more space, because garage is nice, but, you know, garage, you have like your camping gear and you have like just some random furniture, just random stuff. Like, yeah. you know,
you gotta roll out your sleeping bag.
Yeah,
at camp,
yeah.
And you got all these metal shavings and grindings.
That's exactly what's happening, because it's a, and so I want to just kind of keep things clean and sterile and just kind of have a dedicated space for it. So, mm-hmm. so that's kind of where things really went to another level. And like, once I found like some space that I can, and another thing, like when you're working from home, like at least for me, like it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to kind of like, you know, go in the kitchen and start like munching or like turn on TV or do something else. And uh-huh. you know, if you have family, like you kind of get involved with that. When you're in a shop that's what you're gonna do. Like yeah. you're focused. I don't have any distractions. This is what you just focus on your craft. So, okay. and that was nice. That's when things really begin to change. So, like, nice. I was able to take, you know, multiple projects at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, people wanted to drop off their stuff, and you know, I can hang for the night and just kind of like, you know, and just operate like a, you know, more like a next mm-hmm. level. So. Yeah.
And so when you moved it out of the house and you moved it into your first shop, is that still the current place that you're at?
No. So, well, I found a shop. It's a buddy of mine. His father's own. That's Complex. So I rented from him. That was his personal space that he kind of, you know, moved from. So I stayed there for maybe 2 years. And then from there, we moved to across the street to another facility. So we started with 2,500 square feet, and now we're at 5,400 square feet. So a little bit little more than double space. So, and it's nice because we just more racks and just be able to have, like, you know, do know the gearing and
mm-hmm. how many employees do you have working for you now?
Let's see. We have five of us. Yeah.
Okay.
So five and me. So we have nice. Six guys.
That's shop. Impressive for how much you guys crank out and how much you guys do and the quality of work that you do too.
Yeah.
That's impressive, man.
yeah. And on my shop, like I try to, keep it so like everybody's kind of well rounded, like everybody's kind of able to do everything.
Cross
so,
nice. Training,
yeah, yeah. So like a lot of a lot of cross training. Like for example, like our latest you know expansion was getting an alignment machine. So like and adding that to the shop that requires a specific skill set to do that. You know, it's not just like things you punch in the computer and you have. There's a lot that goes into it. You know, so so every training everybody and just going through it. So like let's say somebody needs to fill in, like everybody can kind of change positions, and
that's really nice.
Move to where to what's needed, you know. So you know, like for example, we have our CNC table, like so you know being able to operate that, you know, design operate, like cut stuff on demand, you know.
Is it a laser or
it's a plasma setup. Okay. Yeah, it's, nice. So we have a water bed and it's a plasma, just a plasma cutter table. So
you have 5 employees and 4 lifts.
We have we have three 2-post lifts, and well, we have one of the guys that we have that recently kind of joined on board, but he just is our front counter work. So you know, email, just customer service, when you call Stellar Built, you know, unfortunately we're so busy it's hard to kind of keep up with all the calls, but you know, if you do get hold of us, you know, you'll have Robert answer the phone. So and then we have Jason, who's a he's kind of like our lead fabricator, so specializes in more of a more intense, you know, like a deep fabricated related project. So long term stuff.
I was gonna say that's your bigger projects, your longer, like you said, long term projects.
Long term projects, yeah. And we have a dedicated rack and dedicated, you know, tooling and space in the shop strictly for that. So this is like truck goes on, and you know, and that's you don't have to worry about, hey man, we got to pull this off in order to do this. You know, it stays there, and that's and we can focus on it and kind of just build it properly. So
nice. Cool.
And then we have Max, Sam, and Andrew. And yeah, so
they do everything else.
They everybody can weld, everybody can fab, everybody can you know, do alignment and just they pretty much do like a lot of the 12-volt stuff, wiring, lift kits, alignments, you know, gearing, all that stuff.
So with all that, how many, like roughly how many vehicles, projects, or any vehicles are you working on all at one time?
You know, there's times where we have an absolute full shop, and you have to kind of like, you know, squeeze your way through cars when you're closing for the night, like full house. And I want to say there fits maybe 10 to 12 cars. We also have some cars that are like outside that are also projects, and they're like they're to a point where like they're not drivable, like, you know.
Gotcha.
Like for example, we had this one project right now, customer bought in, it was he got sideswiped on the road, so like his axle and all the linkage is just broken off, so the truck is just it's waiting for its turn, so it's just sitting outside. But at one point, I mean, you know, we try to keep it lean, you know, we don't. It's one after another, but like, you know, there's longer term projects, and we typically have, you know, 2 to 3 of those. And then like the everyday stuff, and every day I want to say like, you know, 5 to 6 vehicles per day. So
you guys really specialize, like you said, off-road fabrication stuff. Do you do other vehicles as well, or do you just try and make sure you kind of stay to the off-road market?
So like 90% of the stuff we do is Toyota based. So like our bread and butter would be the Tacoma and the Forerunner platform. Okay. So like,
what if someone brought in a Supra?
Well, we don't. That's the thing. Like we get calls every single day asking, like, hey, you know, I have a Nissan Xterra. Hey, I have a K5 Blazer. I have all these like other, you know, makes and projects, and we just, as much as I'd love to work on them, I just don't have time. Like we specialize in Toyotas, and I kind of like to stick within that niche, but nevertheless, I still like to dabble a couple of other, you know, makes and models. Like we've been doing a lot of, and they're kind of like hand chosen, like let's say, like we've been doing a lot of Raptors, like a ton of those lately, like suspension you know, a lot, just random accessories. So those are cool. I like that platform. I think it's a great one. So
you gonna be doing anything with the new Broncos?
Yeah, super excited about that. Super excited about the new Bronco. Uh-huh. My name is on the waiting list. So
yeah,
so we'll see.
Which one did you sign up for?
Well, I wanted to sign up for the I think the Heritage one, or the, there's like, they have like a top of the line one, but it was like sold out instantly. So
yeah,
I had to just
the know, special edition, like the first orders in.
Yeah, they only I think it's like a couple thousand of them, and mm-hmm. they have essentially everything that you can have in the truck. Oh, cool. So, mm-hmm. but then there's like this other ones I forgot the package, but I signed up for that. So I'm more interested in the platform, because I'm really impressed with like with how Ford just designed their rear suspensions, particularly. I mean, front, yeah, it's IFS, but if you ever take a look at some pictures of how the rear is set up, like mm-hmm. the way that the frame is French to fit the coilovers on the outside. Ooh. Like that's
I didn't notice that they were French.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Like wow. like usually, I mean, shocks and springs, they run on the inside.
Yeah,
here this is on the outside, which that means it's has massive potential for aftermarket running coilovers.
Absolutely,
lots of travel. So anyway, so Bronco, that's something that's I'm looking forward to. You know, we've had let's see what else, like we're doing a Ford, speaking of Broncos, we're doing a Ford Bronco build now.
Uh-huh.
It's a 95 just the OG Bronco, so
nice.
Putting it's like a just a full pre-runner. Would you,
OG Bronco or OJ Bronco?
OJ. Well, OJ. Yeah. Okay. That's the Bronco. Like, that's the name. That's the model that people know him for. So, yes. And it's white. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we're putting a Solo Motorsports King suspension, a bunch of custom fab work on it. So,
nice.
Yeah. So, that's a wide body. So, we're just waiting for it to just go to paint. So, just waiting our turn. Yeah.
Nice. So. That's awesome, man. With you running kind of the and having the company being so successful right now, are you still able to have your hands in a lot of the projects and the design of stuff, or are you spending a lot of your time running the company now?
Unfortunately, as like I love working my hands, but unfortunately right now, like my time is mostly spent behind the computer. Like,
yeah,
I you know, or just kind of keeping the ship afloat, you know, mm-hmm. like material handling, you know, dealing with vendors, you make mm-hmm. sure, you know, things are coming in and out smoothly. So, you know, I wish I get to the point where I can just kind of have my little corner in the shop and
right.
I can just kind of hermit myself away and work on a project and yeah. do my thing. But, you know, right now it's mostly focused on just kind of running, but nevertheless, let's say if we're running, behind or, we just need to get some stuff done or, mm-hmm. or we just, you know, some guys need help or I jump in and I do that pretty regularly, you yeah. know, like we need something installed or built or welded.
That's awesome, because a lot of small businesses, when they first get started, they're started because somebody has a passion for doing something, right? You had mm-hmm. a passion for making it happen with an off-road vehicle. Mm-hmm. And then so often they end up getting pigeonholed into running the company, and then they don't get to really focus on what their passion was when they started the company.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to see owners, as companies get bigger and bigger, they can still kind of get their hands in what they originally were doing.
Oh, I'm very much about that life. Yeah. Like I love to fab, you know, mm-hmm. I love my tube bender. Like I love all my, like I'm still very much about it. It's just I wish I could do more of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about the products you install, because in a way you're installing some products or a brand mm-hmm. that is not overly known here in America.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you've taken on the Dobinson line.
Yes. So Dobinson's probably one of the most common suspension lifts that we install, and mm-hmm. We formed a really good relationship with that company, and just with their product line and what they offer. I'm personally a huge fan. You know, Dobinson's they've been around for gosh, over 50 years.
Yeah, forever.
So they've been
yeah.
around forever, like longer than most four-wheel companies here in US. So it's just recently, within less, I want to say last maybe 3-4 years, they've begun to establish themselves in the United States. But, you know, they're known all over the world. Like, you know, okay. they've been making lifts forever. So, we like their components. They offer like a wide variety of lifts. Like, let's say you have a Tacoma, You know, it's not just like, hey, this is a Dobinson's kit. They have three different kinds that they of different levels depending on what, depending on kind of wheeling you do, and you know, depending on your budget. So and
so you have that selectability, those options.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. And another thing, what's nice about Dobinson's is that it truly is like selectable. Like every single kit is tailored per your application. Like meaning your the travel of your suspension. You know, there is like longer extended. Mm-hmm. Travel shocks that you can get, mm-hmm. The spring rates, you know, there's more comfort, medium, it's not just like light, medium, and heavy duty. There is like, gosh, like just in the front springs there's maybe a good couple dozen, maybe if not more. Wow. different springs that you can get. Wow. And kind of really fine-tuned for what you're trying to do. So, you know, let's say if you got this heavy bumper with winch, well, we're going to put a bumper that we're going to put a spring that can handle all that, ride well, and retain the height, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of factors that goes into it. So and Dobinson's are, they're able to kind of offer that on and they have like a good, you know, inventory set. So mm-hmm. you know, that's another challenge with like some vendors. You sure they may have that as part of their line, but it's not always available, where with Dobby it's like it's you know, it's here.
So is that what took you to Australia?
Australia, well, it was more like a family trip, but I did okay. But at the same time it was a lot of business, mm-hmm. just, you know, dealing with all that. So
yeah,
you know, met up with some people and was really impressed, like how in Australia, how like they treat off-road. Like they, like we, like off-road is pretty big in the United States, but off-road in Australia, it's like a way of life. Like yeah. Like you see, like all, if it's a truck or an SUV on the road, it's 90% is gonna have a bumper and a snorkel. Like yeah. It's a thing. It doesn't matter, it could be a construction truck, like it will have a bumper and a snorkel.
I'd say they have to, because they get kangaroos jumping out in front of on the roads.
Oh, yeah. Those, they have all sorts of stuff. Yeah. And it's like a way of life, because everybody, that's what you do, you know. Yeah. You enjoy the outdoors, and the off-road shops over there are kind of like kind of like how we have Jiffy Lubes and just service centers.
Oh, wow.
That's how it is over there. Like there's just a bunch of shops all over the place. Like, mm-hmm. like let's say here we have ARB as a company. You can buy there. They have ARB shops, like just all throughout the country.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So it's really neat. Like it's like a way of life, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
So did cool. you, how did you get connected with them? Did you just run into them at SEMA, or did they contact you? How did that relationship start?
A little bit of both. So like, at first when I got into suspension, you know, more on the budget end, like we would do a lot of, OME stuff, and,
okay.
And OME is a good company. It's a, you know, under an umbrella of, ARB and, mm-hmm.
Old man emu.
Yeah. So, but the downside to OME, like their kits are so, a lot of them come kind of prepackaged, you know, and sure. I mean, you can select like individual components here and there, but it's not as smooth of a transaction. Like unless you hold like a huge inventory of springs, mm-hmm. like it's not something like, hey, you know what?
You have to order five or six different kits to pull the parts out that you need.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Where with Dobinson's, it's a, you know, I found out about them, you know, and they're making, you know, their way in US, getting some traction, and reached out to them, you know, and kind of one after another. Like I really mm-hmm. enjoyed the process and just the customer service. You know, that I work with David, who's a president of the, you know, Dobinson's North America. Nice. So he's, you know, we just kind of established a good relationship, and it's very stable. Like, you know, I want something for the most part, we have it pretty fast. So,
nice.
You know, right now we're at a point where, because we buy so much volume, like we just have just pallets show up and just kind of send them that mm-hmm. way. So versus like individual, you know, boxes of
sure.
So and then yeah, we hook up at SEMA last year. That's when I saw you on the plane.
Yeah.
So right. Yeah, we sat right next to each other on the way to like it's meant to be. Like he sat yeah. literally right in front of me.
So. Yeah, it was super funny.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we hooked up with them, and you know, they had a lot of stuff that they released that year, and so it was good. It's just like a good vendor, you know, relationship. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah.
Nice. Excellent.
That's cool. I didn't really have too many more questions. Is there anything else that you wanted to tease or talk about with Stellar Built that? Or did Jimmy have any more questions? Or,
Well, I wanted to ask you just, I mean, is there anybody that you wanted to, you know, sort of give shout outs to, some of the companies that you work with, you know, and you can let people know, you know, what are some of the brands that are out there that you enjoy?
Yeah, well, we have, as far as like our vendors, we have a pretty tight relationship with who we work with. I mean, somebody comes in, they want some sort of bumper or some suspension, we can get it. But, okay, you know, we have our preference on who we like. So, like,
yeah,
our latest relationship that we've set was with King Suspension. I mean, that's been great. Nice. You know, we just had, we hooked up with them through a friend, and we have a direct account, so you know, we work directly with Kings, and that's our new relationship. And King Suspension, I mean, that's the magdaddy of, like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, well, the cream of the crop right there. Yeah.
So that's been great. Yeah, you know, their lead times are long because everybody wants their stuff, but right now, like, we're able to kind of process everything and streamline everything. So King Suspension, we have a great relationship with Toy Tech, and really like Toy Tech products. You know, they have something for everybody, so you know, entry level, high end stuff. So you know, we really like Toy Tech. As far as like fabrication companies, like, our biggest accounts is RCI for sliders and skids. We like, you know, the just everything they built is just really well done, and as well as C4 Fabrication. That's probably one of my favorites. So C4 Fab, like, those guys are out of South Dakota. They're just absolutely crushing it. So
nice.
CBI also, that's another one, our big account. So
cool.
Yeah, so we have, like, when you call, like, our shop, like, we're familiar with pretty much every single vendor that's out there. You know, the ones I mentioned, that's just maybe like some of the companies that we were, but there, you know, we have accounts with mostly like almost everybody. So, like, you know, if there's something specific that you're interested in, you know, we have an opinion on it. We've installed it. We worked on it. You know, like for example, Iron Man is kind of like similar to Dobbinson's. Like, they recently became, moved into US territory, started selling their stuff, and they have a good variety of, you know, products that, suspensions, bumper, armor, whatever, okay, racks. So, like, you know, and not a lot of people are familiar with it. And we've seen it. We've ordered it. We've installed it. So, like, if somebody has a question on it, hey, what do you think of the Ironman foam cell?
I was going to actually, that brings up a good point. So you've worked with the Ironman foam cells compared to, you know, spring and oils.
Absolutely. This is the biggest, it's the biggest shock that I've never seen in my life. They're just absolutely, I don't know how they do it, but everything that, like, it clears all your, like, on the factory IFS Toyota setup, it clears all your steering, like your sway bars, like your axle shafts, because it's tight there, you know, especially like on the factory, like, not long travel. So that foam cell shock is just massive. It's huge. It rides great. So yeah. And that, like I said, we're familiar with it. So like, you know, if somebody calls with a specific idea or something they've seen, like, oh, I know what that is. It's that, you know? So yeah.
So cool. So what is one of the most craziest or, you know, wildest builds that you can recall that you've built and, you know, for a customer or for yourself? I mean, maybe it is your FJ80 that we spoke about earlier, but
yeah, I mean, we've done a bunch of long travel stuff for people. So like, you know, we've done, for Miso Customs, we did a Tacoma, and that's been it was a total chaos, suspension in the front, custom, just a bypass setup in the rear. So that's been nice. I mean, we like reinforced all the framing, the like wide body and all that stuff. So, we did a Tundra in a similar fashion. Similar kit, just everything's bigger. So, the Bronco build is definitely pretty big. I mean, that's like a complete ground up pretty much build. So, you know, but really looking forward to, we have a couple more of those builds lined up. So like, you know, like long travel, it's kind of like its own niche. So we just did a bunch of those. So, but then there's also been huge builds that they don't necessarily scream out like, hey, look at this thing on the Rubicon. But it's like we've done a bunch of foreigners. It's just general Tacomas that just have a lot of work done, like a lot of just like accessories, a lot of electrical work, and just a super high quality part. Some of those kits that we've done, like, they've been like on three different suspension setups. So it's like, you know, we see a lot of returning customers that you know, they want to change things up. You know, even if let's say we did the work, they want to, okay, well, I want to get a different style bumper or do this or do that, you know. So, and it's like it's just a revolving build. So
sure.
So yeah, that's definitely towards more overland style. Like,
yeah,
and you know, sure, and with overlanding, it's a slippery slope because you can get carried away with how much stuff.
It's the gateway drug into rock crawling, rock landing.
Oh, of course, yeah, you can get away. It's hard to get away with like just having too much stuff. Like, just it's mm-hmm. you kind of, it starts with like, hey, I just want to lift my truck, but and I do believe there is too much. Like, there is this, you know, in the absolutely. End, like, there's you can just have too much weight, too much stuff, too much mm-hmm. too much because, you know, whatever you put on a truck, you want to make sure it drives fine with all of it on there. So
yeah.
What are your thoughts on trailing arms versus double triangulation suspensions?
I mean,
like, for, yeah, rear.
It's double triangulate. If you're getting into that, you know, you're either crawling or you're going fast. So mm-hmm. like, you know, trailing arms, if it's a daily driver, it's especially like a, oh gosh, like a, let's say,
not let's more say, like let's a super, say a 94 4Runner.
Well, see, like, I wonder who that is. Yeah.
I don't know.
No, and something like that. I mean, especially like living in Northern California, like, you want to have just a nice, properly triangulated setup, you know?
Okay.
You know, it may look complex, but the parts are really easy. I mean, it's servicing, replacing them, it's like, it's just mm-hmm. it's just easy. So, okay. You know, I recommend, I'm more kind of that side. Trailing arms, I mean, I see trailing arms for, it's good use for like heavy duty applications, you know, okay. like big diesel trucks. I can see mm-hmm. its place in that, but you know, for some that's fun and crawls and goes yeah. fast. Yeah.
Well, okay. since you're asking personal questions,
yeah,
what should I do to Charlotte, my Tacoma out there?
Charlotte, oh man, that's a well, I can tell it has a lot of potential. So it's yeah, there's a lot we can talk about that. You know, I would just start off with suspension, man. Like mm-hmm. it's just having the truck lifted, and this in your particular case, like with 33s, like just having that base
yeah.
is going to get your mind thinking on what you want to do. Like, because you're going to just putting a, like a mild lift, like nothing crazy with some 33s, go out, go have fun, wheel it. And you're going to have an idea of just pop in your head naturally. Like, okay, well, I don't think I'm going to need a big swing out bumper on the taco, but you might need like some, just a little better recovery. So like, let's say like a slim line bumper that's in the front will do you well, you know? So, mm-hmm. I would just kind of lift it. Like, I always kind of tell this to customers or clients that come in, you want to build ground up, you know, before you get carried away with like lights and racks and all this other fluff. Sure. Have a solid platform.
You yeah. know?
Mm-hmm. Like focus on your drivetrain, your suspension, wheels and tires. Start with mm-hmm. that. Then from there, armor, sliders, and then kind of go on from, you know, from there. So,
mm-hmm. got it.
Yeah.
Very nice. I also wanted to, I was curious, because when you pulled up today, you drove up in a Ford, which I love Fords, but you know, you're the Toyota, you know, the NorCal Toyota installation spot, and you showed up in a Ford.
Yeah.
So what's up with that?
Well, it's a Ford F-250 Super Duty diesel, and there's a lot of reasons for why it's that particular truck, but the biggest one is really it's heavy duty, and it's like I do a lot of towing and material handling. You know, I've done just picking up customers' trucks that are broken down, and you know, like towing steel and just stuff mm-hmm. that's like just need a lot of power for. So Tundra is nice, but
1990 mini truck will just won't do it.
It just won't do it, man. Yeah, just that two wheel drive.
Understand? Yeah.
So like being able to tow, like let's say build a crawler or whatever, like being able to tow that around, that's nice. As much as I love the Tundras, like they are limited in their towing mm-hmm. capacity, and just.
Yeah.
You know, you sure you can load them up, but you know, they won't do as much as a Ford. If Toyota made
the space shuttle though,
well, yeah. If Toyota made something that stout, like I'll be all over it. If they made a diesel, just a big truck, you know, with just big, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like sign mm-hmm. me up. I'll be the first one in line. But,
which is funny because their diesels are renowned worldwide for being awesome,
mm-hmm.
but they don't put them here in the States at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I wish we had the diesel diesel Land Cruiser, all the Hilux stuff. Like that's the,
you know, 70 series.
The Holy Grail, the 70 right? series. Yeah, that's that would be nice, man. But unfortunately, we don't have much diesel.
No, not at all.
Toyota. Yeah.
Nope.
Would love to. Yeah.
Right?
that's a dream come true.
Well, our patron from Estonia.
Yeah.
He has the diesel FJ60.
Yeah.
So the HJ60. And I was like, I wonder how much that would cost to get that imported into the States here and get that over here. But, no, this is cool, man. Thanks for coming over.
Thank you.
If people want to get in contact with you, get a hold of you, where are the different places they can do that? I know you're on Instagram. You have the shop. You have a website, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So if you just want to just get a quick idea of like what we're all about, you know, just jump on Instagram, Stellar Built. This is the name of the shop and just one word, Stellar Built. So that's a good gallery or just a resource. Like it's more like a resource, honestly. It gives you an idea of what you can do to your truck and just kind of see the kind of work that we do. Now, if you actually want to proceed and contact us, probably the best way would be to contact us through our website. On our website, we have a really easy, like a customer contact form. Mm-hmm. There's drop down, like, you know, whether it's your contacting about gears, lockers, suspension work, or accessories, mm-hmm. Your name, your information, you can tell
all of the above.
Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly. Check all. So, but, yeah, that would be probably the easiest way. And you're always welcome to call, our shop line. You know, we'd love to answer and talk to you. And, you know, you're welcome. Another thing, like we encourage people to just swing by our shop. You know, we'd love to show you around and kind of, you know, take a look at your build, see what you just could give our input on it. So, Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
We both need to go to the shop.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You know, we've known you for a while, and you know, and we've interacted many times, and you know, but we both have never actually been to the shop and taken a little tour, walk around. So we need to do that. I also want to know who did your logo because it's outstanding.
Mm-hmm. That's been done by a good friend of mine named Arthur. Okay. He's just super talented graphic designer.
Yeah.
He's done all of our. Any design work that we've done over the years, like shirts and stuff like that, that's been all him.
Cool.
We have a big mural in the back of the shop with our name. That was all him. So, mm-hmm. I think his Instagram handle is FX Fixed and Welded. So he's into drifting, but he's also into like off-roading. So
yeah,
Fixed and Welded. That's his Instagram, and he's super talented.
Cool. Yeah. Kudos to him. That logo is top notch.
Yeah. It's essentially just our SB, but you know, there is a lot that goes behind it. The theory behind the logo, it's kind of structural. It's like, I do a lot of tube work. So it's kind of resembles that and it's angles. It's kind of looks mechanical. So, you know, it's not just like, hey, you know, just a random sketch. We actually put a lot of thought behind it. So
yeah, that's awesome. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, awesome, man. Thanks for coming by the studio.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for, you know, we got to give you the tour of the Snail Trail shop. Now we got to come over and get a tour of the Stellar Built shop.
Absolutely. So. I'd love to have you guys. Yeah. You know, we'll give you a tour and just kind of show you some of the projects that we're working on. And
cool.
Yeah, you're always welcome.
Let's do it.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks for coming by. Do you have any final words for everybody out there?
Oh, man. I always tell them this. Like, you just have to enjoy the outdoors. Get outside. Yeah. Get you know, you can get lost in like building your trucks. Like in the end, like it's all just about like just experience nature and experience, you know, kind of find serenity and find a place where you can kind of really go out and enjoy it. So,
and you can do that in anything, even a Nissan sedan, right?
Nissan sedan, you can do it in a Subaru, you can do a two wheel drive, you can
in
do
a Lerat. What'd you call this? Russian, the sedan that you had?
Oh, a Lada.
A Lada.
You can do a two-wheel drive, 40-horsepower Lada. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Jimmy, do you have any final words for everybody?
Play responsibly.
Very cool. And with that, my friends, keep crawling.
I got one for you.
Okay. I am ready.
Oh, yeah? Are you sure?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm a little worried.
What does a star win in competitions?
What does a star win?
A star.
Win in competitions more stars?
A constellation prize.
Okay, that was pretty good. I'll give you that one.
Nice. I also have this one, which was is funny for all of our geek friends out there.
Our geek friends?
Our geeky friends or nerds, whatever, however they want to be identified.
Radio? Is it a radio question?
No. Oh. How many ears does Captain Kirk have?
Oh, how many ears does Kirk have? I think it's just two.
Three. He's got his left ear. He's got his right ear. And he has the final frontier.
The final frontier. Got it. Okay.